Welcome to the Dr. Karen Cam Radio Show. The intention of this show is to empower and inspire you to manifest the life of your dreams, whether it's radiant health, prosperity, loving relationships, or simply peace of mind. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Cam, author of the number one bestseller, Guide to Healing Chronic Pain, A Holistic Approach. And in case you don't have a copy of my book, you can get the first six chapters free on my website at www.karencam.com. Just put in your name and email address, and I'll send you the link where you can download the book excerpt. And not only that, I'll gift you five of my Fast Track Your Healing online classes absolutely free that you can watch at any time. So my gift to you, and please connect with me on Facebook, Instagram, and all the good social media. But definitely Facebook is the one that I'm on the most, and you get the latest events and the latest, little blurbs of what we're up to. And we're going to be talking about glutathione. Now, I have with me, I'll introduce in a moment, Dr. Dennis Loebstein, and he does a lot of work in the Asian medicine, but he has a Western scientific background as well in exercise physiology, and so he's very well-versed in a lot of different health-related topics. And to be honest, I didn't know anything about this so-called antioxidant molecule called glutathione that apparently our bodies make. I never learned about it in med school. It wasn't mentioned in med school. It probably was discovered long before then, but never heard about it. And I heard about it through the company that makes these acupuncture patches that I love so much, the LifeWave company. They came out with a skin care patch, and boy, I got to tell you, I jumped on that bandwagon really quickly because I've had a long, decades-long history of terrible skin issues from when I was a young girl through teenagers with zits and eczema and all sorts of bumps and lumps and, oh my gosh, the rashes, allergies. I was on all sorts of creams and inhalers and just all sorts of things like that. And so when the skincare patch came, was invented, it was actually the glutathione patch. First of all, I couldn't pronounce glutathione, and neither could most of my adult patients. And I didn't know anything about it. I just cared that my skin was going to get better, and guess what? It did. After about 3 weeks of using the glutathione patch three times a week, I was a little sleepy through the first 3 weeks because I was detoxifying. I noticed that my skin was getting softer. I was getting so excited. And then after 3 months, pretty much all the major zits that I had on my face and the basically sandpaper arms and legs that I've had for, decades just started disappearing. And now I just am still floored how baby soft the skin is. And now we have an actual skincare trio that is something that LifeWave sells besides the glutathione patch, which supports the skin. So it's even better now. It's really, really exciting. So I asked Dr. Dennis to come on the show today to really tell us more about what's the big whoop with glutathione. All these famous people are talking about it. Suzanne Summers talks a lot about it in her books, on the radio, on the television show about it. Dr. Oz, had a big segment about glutathione, and I don't know why we didn't hear about it in medical school if it's so important. So I thought, well, let me ask somebody who actually knows. So Dr. Dennis, and I'm sure you have a great story for us today, don't you, Dr. Dennis?
Hi, Dr. Karen. I sure do, and I'm glad to be here with you again. It's always fun talking with you.
Yeah, it's always great to have you. So what's your story for us today?
Oh, well, I'm sitting here in Los Angeles, and there's a news blackout about the methane leak that we have up in Aliso Canyon. There seems to be unstoppable methane gas leak up there. And you may know, or your listeners may know, that methane gas contains a lot of benzene and radon, and that's been leaking into our air just north of L.A. since October. And a lot of people around that area are exhibiting signs of depleted glutathione. So the glutathione in their bodies is going down, and they're starting to exhibit oxidative damage and tissue damage and inflammation, and I bet their immunity is going down, and there's a lot of other stuff involved with lower glutathione levels. And as you know, that happens normally with aging, but because we live in such a toxic environment, we have to do something to supplement our normal glutathione levels. And normally we have it in our lungs, in our liver, and all the trillions of cells in our bodies all have the capability of making glutathione. But with the challenge of all these toxic oxidizing chemicals that we're exposed to, and not just chemicals, but environment, including electromagnetic radiation, we've got what appears to be lower glutathione symptoms exhibiting. And let me give you some more examples of what we're exposed to. Everybody's heard of the Fukushima radiation leakage. That's been going on since 2011. Mm-hmm. And normally we have 100 millisieverts, which sieverts is a way of measuring radiation. That's a recommended limit for radiation workers over 5 years. But currently we have 80 millisieverts hitting our shores on the West Coast every day.
Wow.
And we've got, like, years ago, about 3% of the ocean floor was littered with dead sea life, and now it's about 98% of the ocean floor.
How do they know that?
From different ways of measuring it. Their estimation formulas they use by, I don't know the details, but that's the information I've been finding out.
So who's measuring it? Governmental agencies or private industry?
Marine biologists and people that know how to do that kind of thing.
Oh, I see. So the scientific community.
I didn't look into how they were measuring it. I should have done that since I brought it up.
Well, people will ask. So I'm just, just curious, like how we know all these things. And when I watched the movie Tapped, I was really shocked to see that we have this, this whole humongous repository of plastic bottles in the middle of the ocean.
Oh yeah,
all
like
the plastic.
State of Texas.
Oh my gosh, that is disgusting. I mean, I'm so disgusted with us sometimes. Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we're contributing to this kind of thing. So we have this toxic stuff, and if it's 80 millisieverts coming to the west coast of America, what is it on the Japanese side?
Much, much higher. And Fukushima radiation is 100 times worse than Chernobyl. And the data on Chernobyl was like 50,000 cancer cases coming from that disaster. And there are a lot more that aren't even being accounted for right now from the radiation from Japan. And so that's just another example of toxic environment that we're exposed to that requires a powerful antioxidant to be maintained in the body to deal with it, like glutathione. And other examples are the HARP chemtrail system, which spreads radioactive rain. HARP, in case there are any listeners that don't know, is high-frequency active oral research program, which is an antenna array that can be mobile, and there are different locations around the world that bounce the radiation from HARP off the chemtrails. And that is for weather control and also shifting things around, like the radiation, and moving it around the world. And it's also behind a lot of natural disasters that aren't really so natural. For example, there's a lot of evidence that earthquake in Japan that caused the radiation leakage from Fukushima was a result of HARP radiation. But anyway, that's a tangent and a different story. But the point is, that's another system that's giving us toxic exposure that requires our taking or maintaining high glutathione levels.
Okay, and how is somebody supposed to know whether their glutathione levels are good or not, or bad or not?
Well, they can actually be measured in the blood, and those studies have actually been done. For example, you mentioned earlier that LifeWave has a glutathione patch, and early when that, before that even came out, there was research done on it, and it's published on the website, and it shows that normal glutathione levels is about 2 micromoles per liter. And after wearing the glutathione patch, within 24 hours, the level goes up 3 to 4 fold, up to 7 micromoles per liter. And that's like a 300 to 400% increase. So
So
that's very good.
average being, ideal, or average being normal, or
Normal. The normal background level of glutathione in most people in this day and age, or several years ago, a study was done, is 2 micromoles per liter. And that's
okay.
probably relatively depleted in and of itself compared to what it actually should be, because toxins from the environment actually take it down.
Right, because we can't use it up, right? When there's toxins that our bodies deal with.
Yeah, we use it up. The toxins use up the glutathione, because the glutathione is an antioxidant, and these toxins are oxidizing, so that requires heavy-duty use of the glutathione that we have in our body to neutralize the free radicals and the harmful effects of the reactive oxygen species from the damage. And those include, as I said, free radicals, peroxides, lipid peroxides, and also heavy metals. So those are the kinds of things that accumulate in our bodies when our glutathione levels deplete.
So
And
why doesn't most people, why can't they just go to their doctor and ask them their doctors for a glutathione level?
oh, that's
Or
a
can
really
they?
good question. Well, number one is, as you mentioned earlier, the doctors don't even learn about it in medical school.
Yeah.
And that's so they probably think it's some kind of woo-woo thing since they haven't heard about it. Those that are conscious and look things up on their own will realize that the FDA was reporting back in the 50s that glutathione both prevents and cures cancer.
You're
And
using the word cure. Is that what the FDA said?
the FDA, yeah, back in the 50s.
Wow. That's awful.
I can actually quote David Schmidt from Susan Summers' book Knockout. In chapter 13, Suzanne interviewed David, and as most people listening know, David Schmidt's the CEO of LifeWave and the inventor of the glutathione patch and all the other patches and LifeWave technology. And he said in that interview in Knockout, quote, "We now have significant evidence over the past 50 years that shows and proves that glutathione will help prevent people from getting cancer. There is a link between depleted levels of glutathione and someone's susceptibility to cancer." Now, he's not saying that the patches will cure cancer. What he's saying, he's talking about just glutathione.
Right. So if your glutathione levels are better, that it's a protective effect, or it seems like the data seems like there's a protective effect when it
That's
comes to
right.
cancer. You're less
That's right.
at risk for cancer.
Yes, and not just cancer, but look, consider the disease consequences of low glutathione levels, because glutathione is an antioxidant, neutralizes all these reactive oxygen species from the toxins. So when glutathione is low and those reactive oxygen species accumulate, then the consequences are the following. We get oxidative and tissue damage and rapid aging effects. We get inflammation that creates blockages, and in Chinese medicine, as you know, blockages to the flow of qi manifest as pain.
Mm-hmm.
We have hormone disorders like diabetes and adrenal deficiency and lower libido. We have higher cardiovascular disease, including atherosclerotic heart disease, dysrhythmias, and tachycardia, which is fast heart rate. We have lower immunity and a higher risk of mycoplasma, MRSA, which is methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, and AIDS developing from lowered immunity. We have brain disorders and lowered IQ, and that neurological damage includes Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, and low SAT scores. So we also have, and by the way, I used to teach epidemiology, and I noticed a trend over the last few decades of younger and younger people getting Alzheimer's disease or exhibiting neurological damage that looks like Alzheimer's.
Oh, wow.
Where's that coming from? Well, it's obvious to me, all these toxins we've been talking about in the environment. And Suzanne Summers talks about that too, all the toxins we're exposed to in the environment. And that includes electromagnetic radiation, like we're exposed to 100 million times more than our grandparents were.
Yeah, that is just, I mean, that just amazes me.
Yeah, and that's,
I mean, that just amazes me compared to what our grandparents had to deal with. Oh, my gosh.
And our grandparents had better oxidants like flavonoids in their food, and we're, by and large, most people that are not aware of how to select good food today are eating food from depleted soil, and they're eating processed food and food that causes oxidation instead of the foods containing antioxidants. And so that you put all that together in the picture, you see an increased risk of damage. And the actual need just to live normally for having glutathione supplement. Okay, and then also there's decreased fertility and increased sterility. There's also increase in cancers like lymphomas and leukemias and breast and lung cancer. And there's also an increase in fibromyalgia, depression, pain, fatigue, and insomnia. And I see all these patterns from the perspective of the law of the terrain as opposed to the germ theory. Now, most physicians in medical school are learning about the germ theory and how they should prescribe drugs and correct diseases from the perspective of needing drugs and surgery.
Right, right.
But from the perspective of the law of the terrain, which follows natural law, and naturopathic medical doctors have the perspective of the law of the terrain, the environment is very challenging because of all the toxins we're exposed to, and that weakens our immunity and causes the diseases. So according to the law of the terrain and natural medicine, what we need to do for all of our trillions of cells that are exposed to these oxidants is detox them, hydrate them, have them live in a physiological milieu in the body that is alkaline, except for areas of the body that need to be acidic, like the stomach, inside the stomach, which is digesting food, protein or meat. So that pH is 2.5, but the rest of the body needs to be more alkaline, like 7.4.
Mm-hmm.
And last but not least, we need a high level of antioxidants to neutralize all these reactive oxygen species, which occur normally from the body's own metabolism, which the body can handle and make itself from eating healthy food. But now that we're exposed to much higher levels of these toxins, we have much higher levels of reactive oxygen species in our bodies, And therefore, we need a greater outside source to tweak up the glutathione levels and keep them
offset the damage.
So are
you saying that it's not possible to get all, you know, the antioxidants that we need through our food anymore because of the increased toxicity in our lives? Or is it still possible?
It's still possible, especially if you grow your own food and you use compost and you protect the soil that it's growing in from the fallout of chemtrails, which has heavy metals in it like aluminum, strontium, barium, and changes the pH of the soil, which kills off healthy microbes that the plants use for nitrogen fixation and processes like that. So it is possible if you're very careful and grow your own food. But it's very difficult, even though the food you get in the farmer's market these days is relatively depleted compared to what our parents and our grandparents used to get in their food.
Oh, I see. Well, what about some of these antioxidant supplements that we've got? We've got fish oils, we've got acai berries, we've got coffee berries, we've got, pomegranate. I mean, they sell a lot of these, supplements that are supposed to be high antioxidants. And then there's even supplements that help with glutathione levels. Why can't people just take handfuls of that kind of stuff? Does that work?
No, they work to a certain degree, and they're great to take, and more people would be sick without them. But they're transient. It's when you're eating them, they go up for... Glutathione levels will go up for a few hours and then go back down, and that's okay, that's good, but it doesn't keep the glutathione levels as high as they need to be, ideally, to combat all this exposure to these toxins.
So we need it more consistently high or higher.
Yeah, right.
Okay. So what about, I could be wrong because I don't really understand how the whole lab is done, but I understand that if you take your glutathione levels on different days, that they'll be different. And why would that be? I mean, shouldn't you have something that's regular? If your glutathione levels are low, they're just low, as opposed to one day they're high, one day they're low. So I don't understand why you wouldn't want to do that.
You should be eating these foods that you talked about on a regular basis,
mm-hmm.
and especially resveratrol is known to increase glutathione levels. And there's a really concentrated nutritional supplement from Hungary called Flavon that actually increases, has resveratrol in it, and increases glutathione levels. But as I said, that's transient, just like the food, because it is food. And the IV...
I was going to ask you that next.
Glutathione given in IV is also transient. That's known to increase glutathione levels about 15% above 15% above normal.
Okay.
As compared to the 300% for the patches.
Wow. Why the big difference? I mean, IV glutathione can't be cheap, I'm assuming.
No, it costs hundreds of dollars. And can you give me a minute?
Per dose?
I got to tend to something in the background here. Let me come back. Talk about something. I'll be right back.
So folks listening in, if you were pretty, know a lot about glutathione, I got an email one time from a woman who, I think it was a woman, I couldn't tell by the spelling of the name, and apparently it's all the rage to do the glutathione intravenous in other countries in areas where culturally they prefer whiter skin as opposed to being tanned. So I had never heard of this, and maybe they even do it in China. I just wasn't aware of it. I'm sure it's kind of a very popular beauty thing to do in these other countries. And so she was asking whether the glutathione patches would help lighten her skin. So that was her question to Dr. Dennis, because I didn't really know the answer to that. I mean, I don't really go outside to tan a lot, so I probably stay indoors too much, and I'm always wearing a hat, as you can just tell from, you know, all my patients will tell you I always wear a hat. So I don't really get sunburned a lot. I don't really go out and tan a lot. So I'm not really sure whether that lightens my skin or not. In my I come from Hong Kong, so for us, lighter skin is supposedly more beautiful in our culture. And if you tan a lot, which is great for North American cultures, is actually not so good for our culture, because they think that you're poor and you're like a migrant worker, you know, or some sort of, as opposed to royalty who always had very, very light and fair skin. It's just funny how cultures want different things. So, yeah, so that's one of our questions today for Dr. Dennis, is that will, and you may not be able to answer it, but will glutathione patches be better or as effective as glutathione IV that some of these other countries are using to lighten the skin, and if so, why?
Oh, yeah, much better, because the glutathione patches keep the glutathione levels elevated all day, whereas the IV is transient and only takes it up 15% for a few hours. So, yeah, it works better from what I've seen. And I'm sorry about the interruption. I had to answer the front door. Somebody was really banging like crazy.
Good, we couldn't hear it. But I was asking earlier about why, if people were getting blood tests for glutathione and you just took their blood tests every day, that their glutathione levels, even if they weren't on any therapy, would not remain stable. Is it that volatile? Is the levels go up and down that much?
The body keeps using it and taking it away. So you have to keep stimulating its synthesis in order to make up for its being used and neutralized and taken away by the body's own metabolism.
Okay, and of course your body's making it too, right, supposedly?
Your body's making it and breaking it down at the same time. It's making it, it's using it, and it's breaking it down. And if you don't replace it and up the synthesis of it, you're going to deplete the levels of it because you're using it all the time to neutralize the oxidative toxins.
So we should be really clear here for people that aren't biochemists that glutathione is not something that you can eat whole from your food and then all of a sudden you have good glutathione levels, right? So you can other antioxidants and things that are not glutathione, but you can't actually eat glutathione. Although seen some glutathione supplements, so maybe you can tell us about that. What's the difference?
Well, the glutathione is a tripeptide made of a levoglutamic acid, levocysteine, and glycine. So those are three amino acids linked together that make up a tripeptide called glutathione. And you need those amino acid building blocks in the body, in your diet, in order to be able to synthesize glutathione. So we can give an energetic signal from the patches to increase the synthesis of the glutathione, but if the building blocks aren't there, especially the rate-limiting amino acid, which is cysteine, if that cysteine isn't in our food, we don't have the building block to make the glutathione. So you could signal the body all you want to make it, but if the building block isn't there, you're not going to make it. It's like having these construction workers building a brick wall, and then they run out of bricks. So they keep going through the motions of making like they're stacking the bricks, but there's no bricks there to stack.
Right. There's no raw materials.
That's right.
And I've actually, there's a company that contacted me because of, you know, I guess my name in glutathione came up probably through the LifeWave thing. And they have a cold processed grass-fed whey-derived supplement that has more of these glutathione precursors than just, say, regular whey protein powder, you know.
Oh,
And so
yes.
it increases that, you know, that and that, and they have, you know, some studies to show that it increases the glutathione. But it seems to me that if somebody took something like that, that was a quality, you know, precursor, everyone, meaning that it helps to make the glutathione from those tiny molecules that Dr. Dennis was talking about. And then you've got the signal from the patches that tell the body, hey, take these precursors and make them into the big, large glutathione molecules, then that would be more effective than either one alone. Is that
That's
true?
That's right. Yeah, because that works synergistically with the patches telling the body to synthesize, and then the whey protein bringing the building blocks, especially the rate-limiting one, cysteine, into the picture so that the glutathione could actually be synthesized. Now, whey protein is known to be high in cysteine, but actually regular whey protein is only 1% cysteine. And there are other sources of whey of cysteine that are better than whey.
So a lot of naturopathic people will prescribe N-acetylcysteine.
Yes. Yeah, that's
like
very good way to get it up there. And also hemp protein powder. That's about 10% cysteine.
Okay.
So that's a really, really good source of cysteine, is the hemp protein and the N-acetylcysteine. So using both of those together would provide the building blocks that would work synergistically with the glutathione patches that LifeWave has to really boost the glutathione levels.
So if one was vegetarian, you could potentially use the hemp protein versus eating meat. Is that true, or are you still missing some amino acids to make glutathione?
You could, as a vegan or vegetarian, go that route, yes. And, yes, it's more difficult to get all 8 essential amino acids if you're a vegetarian. You have to be aware what foods you can eat to get the 8 essential amino acids. But most vegetarians look into that and they know how to do that.
Well, unless you're 15 and decided that after watching Food Inc. that you're just going to go and eat
right.
Pop-Tarts all day, you know, like, oh my gosh, guys, seriously. So glutathione, now there are some supplements for glutathione that's a cream, and there's definitely some supplements that say glutathione on them. So what are the downsides, if any, of doing glutathione transdermal versus, you know, patches versus, you know, a pill that says that they have glutathione?
Well, first you want to make sure there aren't any toxins in the cream or whatever else you're putting on your skin.
Oh, okay.
For example, you wouldn't want any aluminum in it. And so once you've read the ingredients and made sure there aren't any toxins in it, then that is a good way of getting glutathione levels up, especially if the cream has DMSO in it, dimethyl sulfoxide. And that is a vehicle which carries active ingredients like the glutathione through the skin very readily.
I heard it smells horrible.
Yeah, it does.
I haven't tried it. Some of the moms were just saying they were like forcing their kids, you know, because the kids had some problems, and the naturopath would prescribe this, but their kids are just like, oh, they just hate it because it smells so bad. And I haven't done it myself, so I don't know.
But the point is, it will increase glutathione levels transiently, but not as much as the patches increase it.
Yeah, again, and we're talking about that transient issue.
You're right, transient issue, and also the level maintain all day. The patches will maintain the level all day until they melt or burn out. And that can be anywhere from 1 day to 5 days that the patches will maintain their efficacy.
Okay, yeah, I've had some people that definitely are very efficient I haven't had too many people that last 5 days on. Maybe you see more of them than me. For me, it's about 14 hours or so. Now, I have not been using the glutathione as much as I used to. And one of the reasons is because I'm doing some interesting, I shall say interesting, healing and detoxification, which means I get into these bouts of constipation from time to time. And once I get constipated, I stop using the glutathione because I just don't want to, you know, have anything back up. And it just seems to make things worse if I try to use the glutathione while I'm constipated. So I kind of wait until things have passed over before, you know, using it again. But for the most part, I think between the Aloe Vita and some of the other patches, I don't seem to be having, you know, the major skin issues like I used to, even though I'm not using the glutathione as much.
Well, if you put the glutathione patch on the lower hussy point for the large intestine or colon, which is stomach 37 on the right leg, which is 3 inches below stomach 36, you would stimulate movement of material through the colon, and that would help you poop.
Yeah, I think I tried that a couple times, but I don't know, I'm just a strange bird. I get weird, like, you know, my constipation is like my body's empathetic way of saying, hi, we have information for you, and until you figure out what it is we're trying to tell you, we're going to give you the signal. So I can't explain it, you know, to most people. But I have, you know, since you suggested that point before, I have used energy patches on that point and different patches. And a lot of times I just won't muscle test for the glutathione for whatever reason. Just doesn't want to go on there. I'm like, okay, I'll just do the other ones that I'm muscle testing for. So, but I know for a lot of people it's really, really important. And correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Dennis, but now you said earlier that, you know, unlike, you know, say injections or maybe supplements like the whole glutathione or even the creams, with the glutathione patches, you're actually making glutathione within the cells. So does that mean the brain would have, you know, glutathione being made, or is it just certain cells in the body would make glutathione?
All trillions of cells in the body get the signal, because when you put the patch anywhere in the body, it increases the signal, the biocoherent signal. It permeates all the acupuncture meridians and gets to all trillions of cells of the body, including the brain.
Hmm.
And then while I'm thinking about it, it's not just glutathione that the glutathione patches increase. It also increases a very important molecule that is an antioxidant called superoxide dismutase. Now, that's an enzyme.
Say that three times fast.
SOD, superoxide dismutase. Yeah, superoxide dismutase, superoxide dismutase, superoxide dismutase.
He did it, folks.
Yeah.
That's great, Dennis. Oh, my gosh. You won the prize for today.
So patches will increase SOD. So that's an added benefit and an added antioxidant value of the glutathione patch.
Mm. Now, I'm assuming, aside from what you said earlier, blood data proving that the glutathione patches actually work to increase glutathione within 24 or 48 hours, I think you said up to 300%, which is a huge number, above everything else that I've ever heard of for increasing glutathione. Can it actually overshoot? I mean, is that dangerous? Can people have too much glutathione? Will your body make, you know, 20,000 times the normal amount, you know, of glutathione?
No, it doesn't seem to be. We've been using the glutathione patch for years, and it doesn't seem to be harmful, with the caveat that you have a detox reaction when you first put it on. And people feel like if they're particularly toxic and have a really severe detox reaction, they're going to feel really yucky when they first wear the glutathione patch and not ever want to touch it again.
Oh. So can you just use it for short periods of time then?
Yeah. So if you're new to it and you're just starting to wear it, you have to play with it a little bit for short periods of time and drink lots of water to clear toxins out of your body that the glutathione patch is dredging up and clearing out, so that you don't get the severe symptoms. And when the symptoms come up that are intolerable, you just remove the patch until they go away and then put the patch back on, and then it will take longer for the symptoms to come back, and you keep doing that while you're detoxing until you no longer get the detox symptoms, and then you can wear the patch all day.
Great, great. So what's the ideal, given that it's supposed to help boost your glutathione levels, which I guess, you know, goes down pretty quickly because of all the things that your body needs glutathione for, all the toxins we have, as well as regular, you know, normal processes that body goes through. How often should someone be using this, ideally, assuming they don't get massive detox symptoms?
At least 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
I'd recommend 5 days on and 2 days off.
Okay.
And one of the reasons for that is so your body doesn't habituate to the signal. And that's the reason you rotate the patches around and not use the same point all the time. So the same point doesn't habituate or get used to the signal and then have lesser response.
Okay. What about people that get, I have a kid who we suspect maybe healing from Lyme, and the patches actually hurt on his body, even if he wears them over clothing. So what's that about?
How does he test with the kinesiology test?
Well, his body says it wants it, but not for very long. But at the very end of that time, if I test him for an hour, at the end of that hour, he says they hurt, you know, and then he takes them off.
He's detoxing so rapidly that he's accumulating blockages, and that's what's hurting.
Mm.
So wear it less than an hour, like maybe half an hour if you can tolerate that, and then build it up to an hour, and then keep building it up so we can wear it longer.
Right, but it sounds like, from your point of view, that it's still good for him, you know, to put them on the acupuncture points. We're actually not using glutathione right now. He's using Eon and energy enhancer patches.
Yeah, that's good. Clonazine would probably help him too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because clonazine is an antioxidant.
Now, does the brain actually use glutathione as much as some of the other cells in the body?
Yes.
Okay. So really, since the brain has something called a blood-brain barrier, which prevents the crossage of a bunch of, you know, bigger molecules into the brain, if you try to increase glutathione levels from any other way besides, you know, increasing the building blocks or using the patches, it doesn't seem like the other methods would actually work to help the brain, at least for the glutathione point of view. Like if you did an IV glutathione, it's not going to reach the brain, right?
Yeah, the blood-brain barrier blocks a lot of it, unless there's some kind of carrier that the brain recognizes to let it through.
Ah.
So, but the brain makes its own.
Right.
Yeah, so it needs a signal, and it needs the building blocks.
Gotcha. And so have you actually seen anybody who has tried glutathione for whitening the skin at all? Or something
similar?
Yeah,
they report that it's helpful. And I haven't actually seen anybody get quote-unquote whiter, but the Filipinos swear by it.
Hmm. So you have Filipino clients?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And that's one thing that gets their attention about LifeWave is the prospect of using glutathione patches to boost their glutathione levels, as I heard you talking about when I got up.
Yeah, no, that's pretty interesting. So if somebody has, like, you know, marks, say, like, not moles, but like sunspots on their face from overexposure to the sun, like freckles almost, would you be able to, like, I have some freckles sort of things, and I noticed it was with my miscarriage and the hormonal stuff that went on afterwards that I got these spots on my face. And, I mean, I'm sure nobody else notices them but me, but I'm curious as to, you know, they're not faded necessarily using the glutathione on other points of my body, but is it possible or would it help to use glutathione right over the spots?
It's possible. I've had a number of people that have reported that after putting glutathione patches directly over spots like that, the spots start going away where nothing else worked before. But that's some people. Other people, it doesn't touch them. And those spots supposedly are from toxins accumulating in the liver and liver qi stagnation. And glutathione is necessary in the liver. And studies actually show that when you block glutathione synthesis in the liver, even though all your other cells are making glutathione, then animals get sick and die, the test animal.
Wow.
So that's, you still have these independent areas where glutathione needs to be made, like the liver and the lungs and the brain, besides all the trillions of cells in the body.
Oh, that's really interesting.
It's likely if you're accumulating toxins and taxing the liver, which is responsible for conjugating the toxins with exit materials or exit proteins that help wash them out of the body, that the liver's overtaxed, and in Chinese medicine we call that liver qi stagnation. And one thing I'm thinking of that does that is statins. Statins will overtax the liver and create liver qi stagnation, and so do non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs.
Oh, yeah, I took a ton of those before when I had, even before I had fibromyalgia, I took them like candy.
Okay, so
I was very cavalier.
Then acetaminophen use or non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug use that you're describing that you took, that might be responsible for the spots because of creating liver qi stagnation at the time you were taking it, and the liver never quite got back to normal, or you're not getting spots anymore, but it's difficult to clear the ones you have.
Right, yeah, I'm not getting spots anymore, thankfully.
Yeah. So that's a good sign. So that means you're not accumulating liver qi stagnation or toxins anymore that build that up. So you just need to work on what you already have in your skin.
Okay. Oh, that's great. Now, some people were using more than one glutathione patch at a time, and I had never really heard about that. So do you have any thoughts on that or why somebody would want to do that? And is that any more effective than just using one at a time?
Yeah, that actually increases the glutathione titer or concentration. And we do that sometimes using a turtle circle or a dragon circle around scar tissue or healing tissue to get it from all angles. And that helps the scar go away or quote-unquote melt or dissolve, or the tissue to heal faster. And even just one glutathione patch alone will help a wound heal three times faster than normal.
Ah.
But using a turtle circle, and if you were using acupuncture, you would angle the needles in towards the bottom of the wound from the outside of the wound or the scar, to focus the chi in the center below the wound so that you would have more chi flow there and increase the healing process. So by putting glutathione patches around the wound or the scar in a turtle circle or a dragon circle or whatever you want to call it.
Right, I call them dragons.
Right. You're increasing the chi flow in that area. And, of course, you don't put the patches directly on the open wound, but you could put them over a dressing, a bandage or a dressing that's on top of the wound.
Now, why wouldn't she use carnosine, which is supposed to help with tissue repair, rather than glutathione or to surround a wound or scar?
Oh, you definitely could. In fact, when people are healing, I recommend they wear the glutathione during the day for protection and the carnosine at night for rejuvenation and repair.
Ah, okay. Well, I noticed that one day James was, my husband was in the skate park, and he got a bad sunburn out there, and he thought, oh boy, I'm really going to hurt tomorrow. And I said, well, just put a carnosine patch on. And so we did, and the next day he didn't feel anything.
He didn't feel
any pain. And, I mean, minimal skin peeled off, and it was like nothing happened. He just got tanned. I thought, whoa, that's pretty cool.
That's another good point about the glutathione patches. You do not need suntan lotion if you increase your glutathione levels, because you prevent the skin damage even at the time the sun is hitting you. If you're wearing a glutathione patch, you're not going to get sunburn as readily.
Yeah, that's great.
Even an hour or more without getting burned.
Wow. So, you know, you drink, obviously you have to hydrate with lots of water. That's very important for all the patches, including glutathione. In fact, probably even more for the glutathione, because you're now taking heavy metals away, right? You're taking other toxins away, and so you definitely want to be able to have an exit to where,
right,
you know, where the toxins come out. So it's really, really important. And say someone that had some, you know, kidney issues, and I'm not talking about kidney issues that show up in the labs, but in Chinese medicine we say their kidneys are weak, so they have signs of kidney weakness. Have you ever put the glutathione patches right over, like, the physical kidneys?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, one on either side or just on the right or what?
Well, you can either put one on the life gate, which is GV4, directly below lumbar vertebra 2. That will affect both kidneys. Or you can put a glutathione patch over right bladder 23 and then put a negative patch over left bladder 23, such as energy enhancer tan patch, ice wave tan patch, or even the SP6 patch, which is electronegative, on the left side.
Okay. So you would never put a glutathione on the left side of your body unless you were surrounding the dragon?
Yeah, I would if I were dealing with getting rid of pain, because pain is an unusual animal that creates blockages that change the polarity of the chi flow in the body. So if you're correcting the polarity, say on the left side of the body where the pain is, you could put a glutathione patch there until the polarity corrects, and you know that from the pain is going away.
Oh, wow, very cool. I think, oh gosh, our time is just about up. So I can't think of any other questions to ask you, Dr. Dennis, about glutathione.
Okay.
Can you think of anything that in the next minute or two that you want to share with our audience about glutathione?
Yeah. Raw dairy is important instead of pasteurized dairy, because studies show that raw milk increases the glutathione that's available in the tissues, and it measures about 10 milligrams. And pasteurized milk shows only 5 milligrams. So there's twice as much glutathione in tissues from people eating raw dairy than pasteurized dairy.
Yeah, if somebody's eating dairy at all. So that's really cool.
Yeah, if anybody's eating dairy at all. So I meant to mention that when I was talking about the food. Didn't get around to that.
Okay.
And also, it's important to note that glutathione, as you know, Dr. Karen, is the master antioxidant for the body. So it replenishes the antioxidant capabilities of vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin E, and it also replenishes CoQ10.
Does that mean you don't have to take that by mouth?
No, it's still good to take them, especially vitamin C. But it's saying that glutathione in normal metabolism will replenish those and keep them elevated.
Cool.
But
last question I just thought of.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Just about children. Is it safe for children? And how would you patch children if you're using the glutathione patches?
Yes, glutathione patches are safe for children. Yes.
Okay,
and I would watch for detox reactions and monitor them when you first put it on, but then when they can tolerate it, it'll help them.
Great. So you see their behavior, I guess, and just see, you know, how they act and make sure they're drinking lots of water.
Yeah.
Right. And if they feel tired or headachy, then you can take it off.
Right. Look for detox symptoms, like if they're acting fussy and irritable, especially if they're young and they can't talk, then take it off until their detox symptoms go away.
Okay, great. So you can just tape it back on with medical tape or put it on their hat or clothing or something for short periods of time until they get used to it.
Yep.
Okay.
You know, it's a good thing we're coming to a close, because I got another webinar at 1.
Okay, that's great.
in about
Well,
14
thank you,
days.
Dr. Dennis, for enlightening us about glutathione. This has been awesome. It's one of those shows I'm going to be making a pretty link, for all my patients to learn more about glutathione. And lots of people searching on the web about glutathione, so this will be a wonderful resource. And you can connect with Dr. Dennis Loebstein right on Facebook. It's facebook.com/baremedicine. Is that right, Dr. Dennis, or is it your name?
You can just put my name in, Dennis Loebstein, and you find me on Facebook.
Okay, yeah, that's great. And then you can connect with me at patchtrainingteam.com. And we have all our radio shows archived there. And Dr. Dennis and I, we'll every first Monday of every month, we'll have our topic. So if you have a burning topic, please let us know as soon as possible because our next show is coming up pretty soon. And let us know what you'd like us to do. Just send a comment or an email either to myself or Dr. Dennis through any of our websites or Facebook and let us know what you'd like to learn about. All right. Again, thank you so much, Dr. Dennis. You're awesome. Have a happy new year to you and everyone listening in.
I love being with you and talking with you, Dr. Karen. Thank you so much.
Oh, my
Have a lovely
pleasure.
day.
Thank you. Okay, bye for now.
Bye, buddy.